The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, Thursday. Let's do this. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us today. Appreciate Buck Rising giving us the lead in on the way in. We'll hand the baton later to 3HL. Just keeping you busy here all day talking sports on the Zone. Jay Mart and Ramon up early. They were talking about their first cars this morning, Blaine. They got into this whole thing about cars, and I was listening, and some people had some amazing stories about how they got their first cars. One guy called in, and he said when he was 7 years old, that he watched a neighbor's dogs for a week and the guy gave him a car. So I don't think we'll top that story from today, but somebody gave a 7-year-old a car this morning. I got to hear that story. So you never know what you're going to hear about on the Zone throughout the course of a day. All right. We're in Cutville Central right now, and it's only going to get worse. Tony Pauline is going to join us from Pro Football Network just in a few minutes here to start this first hour. He's got some interesting insight as well on Isaiah Wilson. We'll get into with him. Can't wait to do that. Chris Parker from the Music City Grand Prix at 1:45. It's a huge event, a race through downtown Nashville. Then we'll get back into NFL stuff with our own Rhett Bryan, the executive producer of Titans Radio, in the 2 o'clock hour. So like we say, we're 2 hours, filled in for three for a little bit. Now we're back to that 2-hour sprint again every day, Blaine. So people, you know, you can't even look down. You might miss something over this next couple of hours. All right. Golden Tate is one of the latest guys to get cut loose. We were so busy yesterday in our 2 hours, we didn't get a chance to talk about this. Kyle Rudolph cut loose by the Vikings. It's a guy that Todd Downing knows. He's going to be an interesting option for a lot of people. If you heard Lucas Panzeca's update there, Delanie Walker is another tight end who's saying that he's available. Blaine, you alluded to this, I don't know, probably in the middle of last week. And basically said, because the way the salary cap is now and because of how many guys are going to be out there, this might be a great year to get guys who are willing to bank on themselves for a 1-year deal somewhere, then let the cap go back up, show how well they can play, maybe get a long-term deal after that. But there's going to be some teams who do some roster building this year with some 1-year guys on sensible deals.
Well, I don't know if that's roster building for 1 year, but they're going to get some guys who are, middle to salary in the National Football League, and they'll be released. And then if they have enough left in the tank and still young, they'll get a big contract. They play solid and stay healthy. So, yeah, that's that kind of year. But it also could be, a guy who could actually, as a veteran, kind of maybe change your role and get on another potential team like a Delanie Walker or Kyle Rudolph. Those guys are still really good. Delanie Walker's a legend here in Tennessee. Don't know how healthy his ankle is. He says he's pretty healthy and he set out and for COVID. So that's something like I would consider down the road, like in training camp or something like that, to see if the guy still got a little bit of juice. Different role, part-time player, can really help us out. So, I think both of those guys are in that kind of bucket. Rudolph a little bit younger, so I would probably lean towards him a little bit more. If I'm being unbiased and not a GM for the Titans, it was Delanie Walker, I'd probably be leaning towards Delanie Walker if he proved to me he could stay healthy. Because of what he's done here in the past. Man, it's going to be a lot of guys like that. And I'm thinking about some guys who can actually cash in. They're probably in year like 6 or 7. It's that tweener guy. When I say tweener guy, and I mean the middle of their career, they're going to have, a 10-year, 12-year career. They're solid players, but they're going to get cut and they're going to be on the market. And we're going to, it's going to be a lot of players out there. So I think the owners are going to win with, being able to have a lot of players out there in only one spot. So they're going to get a player for cheaper. And so it's who blinks first as players. Ultimately, you end up start competing against the other players that play your position as far as then who you're going to sign with and beat to sign in. Or if you look at it like, hey, I know I'm good. I'm going to just wait till somebody gets injured. And then I'm going to sign a deal that's comfortable for me because they're in a different situation now.
Right.
It's kind of what Clowney did. Because he knew he was an elite player. So he said, okay, I'm gonna hold out to as long as I can to get the highest dollars. And there you have it. So yeah, it's gonna be kind of interesting. It's gonna be fun though for ownership groups, GMs to, you know, try to navigate through all of this. You know, you got to rise to the top. This is, you know, it's like playing in the Super Bowl for them at this point during the draft.
Yeah, there's an interesting article by a guy, Doug Farrar, with USA Today, and he wrote about some defensive free agents who he called buyer beware. And he wrote about each one of those guys that essentially just make sure you put them in the right spot. You know, that and he named some examples of guys who'd gone to different schemes or better fits for them last year who had really excelled. But of course, one of the guys on the list was Jadeveon Clowney. And he talked about him and basically said the best results come to Clowney when you move him around. But he finished with this: we may be past the point where any defensive coordinator looks at Jadeveon Clowney and thinks, yeah, I can unlock every bit of his athletic potential. He said teams will have to accept that Clowney is what he is. This guy called Clowney a step above just a guy level, but that's about it.
Yeah, you sent me that, and I read that. I would say he's a little above a step above an average guy. I think what happens is he's not great at any one thing, maybe besides being disruptive in the run front. So then if you take that away, then he becomes an average guy, I think is what he's meaning. But I wouldn't put him in that kind of category. And it's unfortunate, you know, that he hasn't been able to unlock, you know, the keys to him getting after the passer himself. I'm sure he's frustrated with it. I'm sure he's been working tirelessly on all the things that can help him be a better pass rusher. But sometimes you just can't make yourself into something that you're not. He's got a lot of athletic ability, but, you know, with some surgery, no knees and, you know, no bicycle lean and naturally in a natural pass rusher. Now, is he a great athlete and you put him on a basketball court, he'd be as good as any of the defensive linemen in the league.
Yeah.
Besides Myles Garrett, probably. And you know, yeah. So, I mean, you just start looking and say, man, dang, oh, I put him on a football field in a 3-point stand, he'll be awesome. Well, he turns into just really good. And so it becomes disappointing. Then when you're the number one overall pick, that's a whole nother ball game. And, you know, you'll never be able to live up that, you know, at this point in time.
I got curious yesterday. I was looking at this and, Big Jeff played 7 games with Jadeveon Clowney. There was a game that Jeff Simmons missed because of COVID protocols, and Clowney played in that game. But they played 7 games together, and I was looking at Jeffrey Simmons' statistics. He had 3 sacks total this year. He had 2 of them in the 7 games that he played with Clowney. He had 49 tackles this year. He had 28 of those when he played in the 7 games with Clowney. He had 3 tackles for loss this year. He had 2 of those when he played with Clowney, and he hit the quarterback 14 times. He had 10 of those hits in the 7 games that he played with Jadeveon Clowney.
So what do you surmise from that? Where did you come from that?
I surmise from that Clowney at least gave somebody else on the defensive line something to deal with to give Big Jeff maybe a little bit more of an opportunity than he was getting in the other games with the other guys out there.
Well, we shall see. I mean, the rest of the season – you know, I know Big Jeff numbers kind of went down. He wasn't impacting the quarterback. Seemed like he was obviously, you know, turning the corner and becoming a better pass rusher from the defensive tackle position. But I don't know if it had anything to do with Clowney. I'm being honest. I know the stats, what you just listed says it, but I'm not so sure. After watching Clowney, I don't know if anybody was like intentionally double teaming him, and that means it's helping other people out. I just don't think he was that kind of player long enough in a Titan uniform. I can't give him that. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would do. I would look at Jeffrey Simmons' stats and then go compare him to Jarrell Casey, because at the end of the day, that's who he's really being in this defensive scheme. And we already went over his numbers. He was averaging like 5 or 6 sacks, I can recall, a season.
Jarrell. Yeah, I think it was like 6 or so. I mean, right. Jarrell was remarkably consistent.
Right, and so that's where I'm looking at Jeffrey Simmons, and that halfway through the season, for whatever reason, he kind of tailed off as far as his impact. I mean, we didn't call his name very much. And then some of it is because of, you know, the teams are starting to notice him more and say, hey, man, we got to put two guys on him. So that's why I don't know if it was more, you know, Clowney, or was it just now everybody's realizing this guy is more than just disruptive. We better account for this guy for real. When you watch on the, you turn on the tape, Jeffrey Simmons is impacting. So now people are adjusting to that and then, you know, taking two guys after him. So I think it was more that he has to figure out great players, figure out how to still make plays within the scheme, even when you're getting double, you know. So defense is a little different. It's not like you're a receiver. You got to throw you the ball for you to have an impact. Here, he can still make plays, even though they're doubling him. And I'm sure he's the type of guy, he's going to continue to get better because of his athleticism. He's studying ways of how he can do that. And it's always within the scheme. Mm-hmm. It's tough for a D lineman because you got to hold your gaps.
Yeah. Well, I think that just like you said about Jarrell, I think watching Big Jeff as he's learning as he goes, I think that just reminded people again just how good Jarrell Casey was for a long time, how good he was. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm a real big proponent on, you know, consistency, you know, and sometimes, you know, you got those splash players that can make a – you go, wow. Well, that wow is only going to happen like a handful of times in a season. Guess what? I want that guy that's plugging, does the responsibility. And he may only give you one wow. Mm-hmm. But his consistency is across the board. Where the guy that's giving me the splash plays, you know, sometimes he plays under, he's inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get. Kind of like Clowney. I don't like that. You know, I just want a guy that keeps plugging. And guess what? Next, you know, you look at the end of the season, he's got 8 sacks. And say, that was a down year because he didn't make so many splash plays. 8 sacks is 8 sacks, bro.
That's just good, man. Who around here wouldn't sign up for somebody getting 8 sacks right now?
I remember we used to complain when Derek Morgan would only get like 8 or 9 sacks.
Boy, wouldn't you like to complain about that now? Gosh.
A rack bowl, you know? Like, what? I think, guess what? Consistency. Were they giving you big splash plays? Probably not. But they was giving you consistently and going hard, and they was impacting the game. See,
no doubt they got to find another Morgan and Arakpo, or somebody to put opposite Harold Landry to be his Morgan or his Arakpo for sure. Tony Pauline said to join us in about 20 minutes. On Pro Football Network, really, really interesting stuff. We'll get into all that with him, including his take on the Titans and Isaiah Wilson. Again, about 10 minutes away. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Tony Pauline's going to join us in about 5 minutes or so. He's the draft analyst, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Network, profootballnetwork.com. You can go there. He's also a huge Led Zeppelin enthusiast. Lucas Panzeca slipping in some Zeppelin there. I was on a terrible high school basketball team, Blaine. We were bad. We were everybody's homecoming. And one of the craziest things I ever, every time I hear that song, it makes me think of something. Lucas, you have hit the way back button for me. We were everybody's homecoming to the point that my best friend and I, he's 6 feet tall, but Blaine, if he went to the combine, I think he'd be 5'11 and change. He was our postman, and he had a broken leg from football. So we had a postman who was right at about 6 foot tall, the postman who could not jump. So he had all these things that he could do. He would hold people's shorts. He would step on their feet. He was the craftiest inside player that I've ever seen in my life. And he could score too, like didn't get his shot blocked. And when we were playing, oh my gosh, we were so terrible. But there were a bunch of guys who wound up playing Division I basketball in these little farm town teams all around us. We were just born at the wrong time when it came to that. But anyway, we became experts at raiding people's homecomings because we saw so many of them. And anybody
so who's ever been fun thing, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I can tell you everything about homecomings. I can tell you what work, what doesn't. I could go to your high school. I could go to Cathedral right now. I could plan the best homecoming for basketball ever. And in Arkansas, you had all these tiny schools that were so tiny, they didn't even have football. So they had homecoming for basketball. Right. We were playing at Manila. Manila's gym, Manila, Arkansas, rhymes with vanilla. It was
Millard Vanilla was there.
They weren't there. But I think everybody else was in the whole town. Their gym was so small, they didn't have a bench. You sat on the front row of the bleachers. So you're sitting with some local yokel right behind you and his kid pouring Coke on you, dropping popcorn down your back the whole game, them yelling in your ears. Dude, we went to Manila one night and we were their homecoming. And I'm telling you what, that song started playing. And man, these dudes started coming out of there with their girls. And it got to the point the captain of the basketball team was going to kiss the homecoming queen. And it looked like something out of a science fiction movie. That dude's tongue went so far down that girl's throat. I thought it was going to come out the back of her head, dude. It was like the alien. It was like the alien movie, dude. I just remember we were all shocked. I mean, because we're like, we're just kids. I mean, that's somebody's daughter. This guy, what are they doing?
He's a stud, man. Everybody's still talking about that still today.
I'm so glad I could bring that memory back for you with that.
Yeah. That guy was Manila's postman. He was 6'3". He played in the post. He had two huge knee braces on. He wound up going to junior college, and he realized, I can't jump high enough to slide a piece of paper under my feet. So he shot 1,000 threes a day or something. 2 years later, he showed up at Arkansas State and with a cowboy hat. He had a gimmick, and he was the cowboy, Keith Gray, and that dude shot 8 million threes in 2 years at Arkansas State. He's one of the all-time great players. And all I can think about when I see him is his tongue going down this poor girl's throat.
Oh my.
While Led Zeppelin just blared in this gym with 400 people in it in the middle of the winter in Manila, Arkansas, dude. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But thank you, Lucas.
Maybe we should put that out to the listeners. What's some of the craziest things you've seen on homecoming? What I guess for the homecoming, deal, man. I can't even begin to even top any of that.
I'm telling you, we had a full rating system. We rated music, we rated presentation, we rated the court. Like, okay, how pretty were the girls? Because we're red-blooded American guys. We're paying attention to all the stuff. And I'm telling you, man. No one ever topped it. They were like a 10 out of 10 in every category. And when my man came out and just made his move, oh my heavens. That was a game changer right there. It propelled him onto a really nice Division I college basketball career.
Yeah, man, that was a shocker there, man. I don't know, man. I'm sure there was some crazy stuff going on at Cathedral, man. That's a Catholic high school. So I don't know, man. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Maybe I just put my blinders on to it all. Hey, because I think a lot of people know them Catholics like to party, so yeah.
I've told you this. You always get a good laugh about my stories. This is a true story. I had never met a human being that went to a private school until I was in high school. I'd never met a person who went to a private school until I was in high school.
Okay, I don't find that uncommon. I've never told you this. Me either. Me either. So I don't know where you thought I was raised or something, but I wasn't in the high rent district area.
You at least got to meet some, but you went to school with them, though. And then you got to dominate them in sports for a few years.
Just like they do in recruiting here at private schools, I was recruited there at the Cathedral. Let's be real now. So I live you live in Nashville and then they recruit you out to Brentwood. That's kind of the same thing was going on.
Well, I wasn't good enough in anything to get recruited anywhere. So I went to the high school in my town. I think we were talking about this one time. You said, what high school did you go to? I said, the one high school in my town.
One high school in town.
You said, what was it named? I said, it was named the town. It was the town and the high schools all had the same name. Like nobody went to Cathedral or, Grand Valley. You just went to the name of your town's high school. That's the way we did it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't imagine, man. I used to talk to Lorenzo Neal about stuff like this because he said they only had one stoplight in their whole city that he grew up in, and I just used to be like, one stoplight?
Yeah, we didn't have one stoplight.
Everybody knew everybody's business, didn't they? He's like, absolutely. I mean, he said, he was so bad, he said, guess what? Nobody cared, though.
No.
We could do anything. We could throw a rock through somebody's window. Nobody cared. I mean, they tell who did it, but they, it was hilarious, man.
Tony Pauline, set to join us here. We'll continue the Titans and free agency talk. But yeah, every time I hear that song by Led Zeppelin, I lose myself in the mid-80s back in Manila, Arkansas, in the smallest gym that we ever played in there, very tiny. Lucas, have we got Tony? Tony Pauline joins us now, noted Led Zeppelin fan. Tony, what is your favorite Zeppelin song? I had a little story about All My Love as it played as the bumper music before we brought you back in. What's number one for you?
My favorite Zeppelin song is a song that a lot of people aren't familiar with. It is the last song on the first side of Zeppelin 3 called Out on the Tiles.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
I'm also a big fan of 10 Years Gone and the almighty Achilles Last Stand.
Tony, that's some nice choices, man. Going deep cuts there with Zeppelin. I appreciate that. Going a little deeper into the catalog. Let's start with the Titans question for you, because I know you've been on with us before, and I saw you and Pro Football Network. By the way, Tony is the lead draft analyst for Pro Football Network. You had some thoughts about Isaiah Wilson and the Titans, and that kind of – I said, we got to get Tony back on to talk about this. What's the latest with that, what you know and what you've heard?
What I've heard is basically what I know, and the feeling is it's going to be sooner rather than later for the end of Isaiah Wilson's career, or very, very possibly – I should say sooner rather than later, as far as the end of Isaiah Wilson's career with the Titans. I mean, obviously, you know, it was a rocky start last year. You had the issue with the general manager making the comments, and then you had really Isaiah Wilson with, a mistake of his own, I think, really just making the situation even worse with that tweet, which he deleted. There were concerns by some teams prior to last year's draft about Isaiah Wilson off the field, not on the field, because he was at Georgia. He was a terrific right tackle on the field, as I've illustrated multiple times. But there were some character personality issues, if you will, that concerned a lot of teams. It didn't concern the Titans. They had no red flags on them. We'll see where it goes. I hope it works out for Isaiah Wilson, because he's a darn good football player. But he's got to focus on, he's got to make football a priority.
Tony Pauline joins us with the Pro Football Network here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Tony, man, thanks for coming on. And I have to do this. My man Gator Mike, who's a big, Florida Gator fan, is always, tweeting me about Kyle Pitts, man. Talking about he ran a 1.48 or 5.0, 1.50 with the 10-yard dash and everything else. How fascinating of a player is this? And he's kind of a hybrid. He's a tight end slash receiver in my eyes. What do you see in him, and then where do you think you're going to draft? Is he a top five or top 10 pick?
Presently, he's number 4 on my overall board, and I would be shocked if he gets out of the first 6 selections of the draft. I mean, you say he's a hybrid tight end receiver. I think he's basically a receiver in a 255-pound body. It's one thing when you watch the film and you see what he can do. The natural receiving skills, the athleticism, the ability to get down the field, the ability to get up in a crowd and come down with the ball. But when you really watch the film, watch who he did it against. In the SEC title game, Alabama consistently had Patrick Surtain, their top cornerback, who's going to be the first cornerback selected in the draft, go one-on-one against Kyle Pitts, couldn't stop him. And against South Carolina consistently lined up J.C. Horn against Kyle Pitts, another first-round selection, either the second or third cornerback selected against Kyle Pitts, couldn't stop him. When he went up against Georgia was using their plethora of defensive backs, and they got 3 corners that are going to be top 90 selections against Kyle Pitts, couldn't stop him. So it's not just that Kyle Pitts really stood out last year, really progressed, and showed himself to be just a game-impacting tight end, but it's also the fact that he did against guys that are going to be early first-round picks, late first-round picks, and day 2 picks all last season.
Impressive there. We're on with Tony Pauline with the Pro Football Network. And I have to ask you about, I know the Titans are going to be probably not in this situation, but when you scout Najee Harris, the running back for Alabama, how does he stack up when you, vetted the King Henry?
I think he's a little bit more versatile. I think he's a better pass catcher out of the backfield. I think he's not – I think he's a good downhill runner, but not as good as Derrick Henry. I think he's slightly better turning the corner and getting around the outside. I love Najee Harris's game. I think it's a complete game as a ball carrier, pass catcher, and blocker. I said all along about Najee Harris, really through the early part of the process, he's a first-round prospect who plays a day-two position. I don't agree with that because I think he is such a good player. He should be a first-round pick. I think he will eventually be a first-round pick. I think he's more of a system fit. You know, if you want to run, you want a ball carrier that's going to turn the perimeter, he's not going to be the guy for you. But if you want to keep it in tight, want to run downhill, want to throw him the ball out of the backfield, I think he is just got a terrific game. I don't think he's going to wow anybody with his pro day workout. He's not going to be running the 4.4s or anything like that. But you watch the film, and, I mean, he was the guy that opponents knew was getting the ball, and they couldn't stop him.
All right, I got to have you compare Kadarius Toney, because he was the guy to me. You double Pitts, and then you're in trouble with Toney. So you better double Toney and just hope for the best with Pitts. And compare him to Waddle with Bama.
I think Waddle's a little bit faster. He's got the better deep burst. Jalen Waddle's got a legitimate second gear. He's the guy that can score from any point on the field. I think Toney is fast, but he's not as fast as Jalen Waddle. I do think that Toney is a more polished receiver, in large part because in 2019, Waddle was the number four receiver on that Alabama depth chart. This year, he started off real well, but then he had the ankle injury, which stunted his development. It's going to be interesting to see what Jalen Waddle's exact height and weight is. I think they're both guys that they may struggle with press coverage at the next level. You may have to line them up in the slot, line them up off the line of scrimmage. But I think both have, you know, are big play threats. It's just that Jalen Waddle's really got that second gear that he can put in overdrive and run away from opponents.
We're on with Tony Pondoline with Pro Football Network.com.
Tony, how deep is this wide receiver draft? I ask because the Titans have already cut Adam Humphries loose. They could very well lose Corey Davis to free agency. How deep is this wide receiver draft to get some immediate help?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, you got, I think when you compare it to last year, and everyone was talking about last year's receiver class being historic, I think the talent at the top of this year's receiver class with Jamar Chase of LSU, Devonta Smith of Alabama, is better than the top receivers from last year's draft. I think that really when you look at it, through the third round, you've got 18 receivers that on my board grade out as top 100 selections. And guys that can be starters, can be number two receivers, can be even third receivers at the next level. And, you know, there's a good amount of versatility. You got the Jamar Chases and you know, the Jalen Waddles of the world. You got the Dwayne Eskridges from Western Michigan and Tutu Atwell of Louisville, who are a little bit smaller but are your downfield threats. You got your Nico Collins of Michigan, a third-round pick who's more of your bigger possession receiver. I really like the depth through the top 100 picks. And I even think in day three, you're going to be able to come out of day three with a receiver that you can line up as your fourth or fifth receiver, and a lot of these guys can double as return specialists.
Yeah, that would be helpful too, certainly. Let's get into edge rushers and pass rushers, because obviously the Titans have a fantastically great need in that department. Azeez Ojulari is a guy who a lot of people project to the Titans. Curious to get your thoughts on him.
Absolutely love him as a player. I mean, a guy who, before the season, if you read my stuff at Pro Football Network, I said right then and there, I graded him at that point as a day two pick off of his freshman film. I said he had huge upside, and all the guy has done is got better and better and better. I mean, he's more than just an edge rusher if you watch him play. He's the guy that can turn and chase the action in pursuit and make plays out into space. He's a tough guy. He can get depth off the line of scrimmage and basically make plays in reverse. He's got a high upside. It may be a steep learning curve, but I think Ojulari's a guy who's going to be underdrafted. He's a guy who should go top 15, but I think he's going to go in the bottom third of round one. And I think with the proper coaching and proper development, he is just going to be a knockout player at the next level. Absolutely love every facet of his game. Not the biggest guy, but when you watch him on film, he plays strong football. He's tough to block because he's got a strong build, explosive hand punch, and great moving in any direction. Not just fast up the field, rushing the passer, but as I said, can get out to the flanks and pursuit, can drop off the line of coverage.
Man, I hope somebody says half the nice stuff about me someday, as you just said about Azeez Ojulari. Tony Pauline joining us now, draft analyst for Pro Football Network and more.
Well, at number 22, what do you think you get there at that kind of value, at the best value at 22? What position?
I think that's probably where, you know, we talked about Ojulari. I think Russo of Gregory Russo, the Miami of Florida edge rusher, that's about where I have him. I have him number 20. So I think you're going to get some good pass rushers at that point in time. I don't know which receivers will still be available. There should be some decent cornerbacks there. I mean, you're looking at a guy like J.C. Horn, I think, could be there. And big, tall corner, a terrific shutdown guy, a guy that's got great size and speed, a guy that's got a terrific amount of upside. So the bottom line is if the Titans hold on to that pick, I think not only will they be able to get a good player, but they'll be able to get a good player that fits a need.
And that's always important as well. All right. I know, you know, a lot of people think we're not looking at quarterback, and we're not. But in the middle rounds, what's a guy in the middle rounds that you say third, fourth, even fifth, you say this guy could turn into a stud? It just, you know, he just needs an opportunity and maybe go somewhere and they build up into the future 2 or 3 years down the road.
You know, a guy like Jamie Newman, who came off of basically just Jamie Newman was a solid quarterback at Wake Forest, decided to transfer to Georgia, then opted out of the season, had his moments at the Senior Bowl. I think he's a day three pick and a guy that's got a tremendous amount of upside, but just needs the right type of coaching and the right type of development. He's got all the physical skills, needs some work on his delivery, needs some work on his accuracy. But again, if you're looking for a guy in day three that you could develop down the road, you know, someone that you're going to want as a backup quarterback, and everybody wants a good backup these days, I think Jamie Newman is someone that you got to look at. There's no guarantees. He's got all the physical skills. You just have to tie the loose ends together with Newman.
Tony, great stuff. Tony Pauline with the Pro Football Network. I know you guys are offering a free agency guide. Tell people where they can get that, because I think especially our Titans fans would appreciate that information.
Just go to the site and sign up for it. It's free. Just put in your name, your email address. You can download it. Doesn't cost a cent. Obviously, it's something that's dynamic because we have all the listings of the free agents now, listings on what team needs, what teams may be looking for, salary cap breakdown, things of that sort. Obviously, once free agency starts, it's going to be a little bit dynamic and it's going to change, but it's a great read and it doesn't cost a cent.
Man, that's the best way. Great free information. Tony, thanks, man. Great catching up with you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Tony Pauline right there with the Pro Football Network. There's a huge event coming up in Nashville that is going to be loud and fun and right in the middle of downtown. We got all the information next on Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Look, y'all been shut up in your house for a long time. A bunch of you hadn't done anything fun. It's a bunch of crazy, awesome people who put together. Hey, you want to have some fun? How about an IndyCar race in the middle of downtown Nashville? We're joined now by Chris Parker, who's going to tell us all about it. Chris, I am so excited about this race. I haven't been out of the house much. Blaine and me are still doing the show from home. But I would go downtown right now and watch IndyCars go 200 miles per hour over a bridge over the Cumberland River. This is a heck of a thing you guys have put together.
Not over a bridge. It's over a bridge.
I agree, guys. It's going to be fantastic. And I appreciate you having me on to talk about it.
Yes, sir. Chris Parker, the president of Music City Grand Prix. So it's coming up August 6th through 8th. Just kind of give people an overview. You guys are kind of calling it a festival. There's food and there's music because it's Nashville and we do those things. Oh, by the way, and there's car races that go along with it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we have said all along that this event is truly an urban racing festival. So it does involve the food, the entertainment, the racing, the overall camaraderie, the ability for people to get back out and to hang out with one another and visit with friends, family, business colleagues, neighbors. And so, you know, we're very, very excited about what we have to offer. But really, the success of this is because of what Nashville has to offer. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Nashville is the it city. It's an event city. It does these things so well. And at the end of the day, our proximity to downtown, the infrastructure at Nissan Stadium, the ability for us to leverage all of the, you know, the walkability and the convenience of downtown Nashville is going to be a tremendous asset that's going to make this just a remarkable event.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing. Chris Parker, president of Music City Grand Prix, joins us on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Chris, thanks for coming on. I guess talk a little bit about some of the ticket packages that people can sign up for and have their fun downtown, as well as, you know, where some volunteers like me and Mickey will have to go to sign up to as well.
Oh, well, you know, look, we'd be thrilled to have you guys as volunteers. We'll give you some of the VIP assignments. You guys know the bowels of Nissan Stadium. So we're going to get you down there on the Nissan Stadium event level. You know, maybe in charge of transportation or something like that would be perfect. Blaine, you know your way around down there, so you'll be able to point everything out for folks.
Well, that's cool. But, so you get, yeah, the ticket packages?
Yeah, so we went on sale with our ticket packages last week. People have responded just exceptionally well. Very excited about the offering. And there's something for everyone. We've said all along, you know, whether you're the hardcore race fan who really wants to pick out your seat and see two or three different, you know, strategic turns on the track, whether you're the concert goer, whether you're, you know, somebody who just enjoys hanging out in a festival atmosphere, whether you're a corporation or a business looking to entertain for the first time in months, there is something for everyone. Our packages start as low as $119, and that's for a three-day GA. You've got reserved grandstand seats at $199 per. You've got what we call the starting line club, which is right there in lot P, right underneath the actual racetrack, right underneath KBB. That's an all-inclusive food and beverage add-on to a ticket. And then we're using the East Club. And again, for Titans fans, or people who have gone to concerts or events at Nissan Stadium, most people go in the club and they grab their drink, they grab their food, and then they head into the bowl to watch the game or watch the concert. Well, we're reimagining that. We're using the club to face it out, to look through the glass windows, to use the ramp, to look out on the finish line, to look out on pit lane, to look out on the paddock area, which will fill that parking lot, A, B, C, and D, that is between Nissan Stadium and the interstate. So we're really using all this infrastructure to create a lot of different options for every audience to get out there and enjoy this truly international festival that's going to come to Music City.
Well, with Chris Parker, Music City Grand Prix.
All right. When I introduced you and every one of the press releases that I've seen, you are literally talking about top speeds expected to reach up to 200 miles per hour going over the Korean Veterans Bridge. That sounds completely insane to me.
It is crazy. So, you know, it is going to be the longest straightaway on the IndyCar circuit. So when you're coming from downtown across the Cumberland on KDB, heading down towards the corner of Shelby and Interstate Drive, which is right there where that Exxon station is. So as we approach that, these cars will be going close to 200 miles an hour. We're expected to be five or six lanes wide, making that left-hand turn onto Interstate Drive. So this is going to be the marquee turn on this course. It's one that all of the drivers have talked about extensively, just the length of that straightaway, and then the ability to be coming into that turn four, five, six cars wide. It's not something that is normally seen on a street course.
You got to love a city that you go to them and say, hey, we want to race cars 200 miles per hour through the downtown streets. And the city goes, yeah, sure. Let's have some food and a concert, too, while we're doing it.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you've summarized it probably better than I could have, Mickey. And that is that the city gets it, right? The CDC gets it. We are a city that is built on events. We do the hospitality thing better than anyone else. And I think that we also understand and appreciate how we are presented to the rest of the country. And so it just becomes an iconic view. It represents the city remarkably well. It encourages other people to want to come to Nashville, even if they don't come, you know, for race weekend, they come some other point in time. So the city absolutely gets it. So, you know, kudos to everybody at Metro Government. Kudos to the CVC, the Downtown Partnership, the Sports Council, the Chamber, everybody who has helped us navigate and get to a place where we are able to bring this thing to fruition.
Chris, great stuff. I got a six-year-old son, and that dude loves anything to do with cars racing. So we watch a lot of car races. We can't wait to have this one race right through our beautiful city. People can go to musiccitygp.com/tickets, or they can go to ticketmaster.com, or you can even call the Titans ticket office, 615-565-4650, for more information. Can't wait for this and looking forward to it.
I appreciate it. We'll look forward to having you and your son out there. We'll get him, you know, some pictures and some cars, and we'll make it a memorable, you know, father-son activity. So look forward to it. Hey, thanks for having me.
Chris, you might have just adopted my son if you could make that happen. He'll go home with you. You'll be his new favorite person.
I'm good with being Uncle Chris, but you're still paying for college tuition.
Oh, fair enough, man. Hey, we're looking forward to it. Thanks for the time today.
You know it. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. MusicCityGP.com. This is going to be a lot of fun, and the cars are going to be flying around there. We appreciate Chris joining us. Rhett Bryan's going to join us in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk Titans. We're going to talk Titans in the next hour. Here's the thing. You want to jump in the discussion? Maybe there's a free agent you want. Maybe there's somebody in the draft you want. We're getting into the nitty-gritty time for that. And here's the thing. Anytime we're talking, you want to join the discussion? You want to add? Maybe you like what we're saying, you don't like it. Hey, man, our phone lines are open all the time. 615-737-1045. You can hit us at Blaine and Mickey on Twitter. This is Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.